Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
There's a lot of calls on our life and a lot of hats that all of us wear. And positions that we have or just duties we're supposed to fulfill. And life is demanding. And life can be tough, while it can also be very good. And difficulties and trials and testings and, you know, injustices in our life, God can use all of that to perfect our faith. It's not like we hope for those things to happen, but we do hope for the perfecting of our faith, right? And if circumstances or discomfort come to produce that, so be it. I didn't hear one amen. Amen. I don't know if you're asleep, you're saying, I don't want to agree with that. I know it's true, but I don't want to go. Listen, it's not like you're asking for hardship. How many of you know you don't have to ask for hardship? It just kind of finds you. And our response is to run to God and express faith in Him. And trust Him. Do our part. Where it involves hard work, we need to do it. Where it involves restraint, where we should not be doing something, then we need His help. We got to restrain ourselves. And then when we're released, then we have to do this. One of the calls that is very difficult and challenging in life is being a father. Now, some of you are like, mothers are going, oh yeah, they should try being a mother. Listen. You had your day last month, okay? Today it's the father's turn, fathers. And there's something in it for all of us. I want to talk to you specifically about something. We're going to read about a father who did some passive parenting, and it ruined his kids. He didn't deal with known aggressive sin in his boys' lives. And he let it ride. And it ruined his family and family tree. And actually, the sins through those generations started actually even before this priest. But how many of you know that in God, curses are broken? Okay. Let me just tell you this. Maybe you didn't grow up in a great home, and maybe you didn't have a father who was present. Maybe you don't know your father. Maybe he was present and you wished he wouldn't have been. Whatever. Wherever we're at on that. I mean, no earthly father has been perfect, including this one. But I'll tell you, and I'm going to be very bold with you fathers in this room, and those of you who aren't fathers yet, whether you're, 8 or 11 or 12 or 21 or whatever age you are, I want you to hear this. Our past and our father, and I know the statistics say if you have a father like this, then therefore you will be, kind of. I understand and I know and I can see those patterns are true in our culture and society. But let me just tell you this. As a believer in Christ, we cannot use our past or our father as an excuse to be less than what we should be, because when Christ finds us and we respond in faith, we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. And the Holy Spirit in our life moves us and transforms us beyond the boundaries and hindrances of our past. And you can say, but I don't know how to be a father because I didn't have a good one. I'm kind of guessing. You know, we figure some things out and some of the things are good and some things, the traits just follow along. In Christ, those curses are broken, okay? We remember things, but we don't have to live under the influence of it, because in Christ, we discover a new father who's perfect. And now that we are exposed to the father who's perfect, I now have the responsibility with his help to become like him, not be a product of my past. That's the difference. So don't think my dad was like this. I think I'm doing better than him. And you're still doing some things. You say, well, you know, it's just the way I was brought up. Uh-uh. In Christ, you are being brought up different. And so I want you to know that if you didn't know your dad, I'm sorry. And maybe you didn't have a great dad. Maybe you didn't have a dad like my earthly dad. It wasn't perfect. There were some challenging times. But I watched him transform as he walked in his faith in Christ. And I don't know if my dad and mom are watching at home this morning. I mean, normally they'd be here, but many of you know he had a massive stroke about a month and a half ago. So, Dad, if you're watching, I love you and I'm proud of you. And don't you quit. So thank you. Many of you have been asking about him. He's making small gains. And when it has to do with his recovery from a stroke, every small gain is a huge deal. And I want you to hear that in the spiritual level. You may have had some difficulty in coming out of something, and you may not feel like you're growing quick enough, but I'm telling you, every little victory is a big deal. And you draw encouragement from it, and you just trust the Lord and let him walk with you through it. He'll be faithful. Don't you give up. You keep walking with him. You keep walking with him. I don't care how your past or some event has kind of crippled you or caused you to slow down or not function right. You just stay with the Lord. He's going to bring you around. Okay? So, no excuse for us. We have a perfect Father in heaven who we're supposed to learn from and overcome our past and become different than what we were or what the statistics tell us we will become because of our past. Born again, all things are becoming new. All right? Right? All those scriptures? Yeah. Yeah. Overcomers in Christ? Yeah. Yeah. It's not just overcoming the stuff that we're going to run into. It's overcoming stuff from our past that we need to be free from. Can't be a passive parent. I know you don't want to hurt your kids' feelings. I know that you want them to have as much as possible, and all of those things go together. And hey, I get it. I'm a dad, and you know, I want those things for my kids, but not at the expense of not teaching them or attempting with God's help to train them, okay, to have a respect and an honor for the Lord. Now, they're going to make their own decisions. And that frightens some of you as parents. Well, now you know how your parents felt. Yeah. We're just supposed to do our part. We can't do everything for our kids and as they develop and grow, but we need to show them in our private life what our public life we profess. That we're living out in our private world and not be passive when sin is in our household. Now, I want to read to you about this and then I'll comment on that. Now, the sons of Eli, this is from 1 Samuel chapter 2, by the way. Now, the sons of Eli was the priest, okay? And his boys, they were doing priestly duties. They were growing up in, our phrase so we can kind of make the correlation. They were growing up in a church house, Christian home. Christ wasn't revealed to them yet, but to put it in our vernacular, if we make it fast forward to today, Christian home. Growing up with a priest, growing up in a godly home. The message of God and the culture of God and the laws of God and the words of God and the prophecies of God and all of that, just like some of the homes that you and I live in. And look what happens. Now the sons of Eli were worthless men. Wow. Have you ever thought about being back in that time and just thinking, you know, what a privilege it would have been to be in Bible times and have like your name mentioned in the Bible? I mean, through all time, his word and your name, you're in there. And then you hear this phrase, and I go, whoa, that is not how I'd want to be mentioned in the Bible. You know? Hophni and Phinehas, the two boys, they were worthless men. Well, maybe it's good I wasn't mentioned. Look, this is how it starts out. Now the sons of Eli were worthless men. They did not know the Lord. Hey, they're growing up in the temple. They're growing up in church. They're growing up in the deacon's house, the pastor's house, the member's house. It says they didn't know the Lord. He explains some of the couple of things that they did. They were, I mean, if these things were in their life, you know there was other things. But these are the couple that are mentioned. Now listen to this. The custom of the priest with the people was that when any man offered a sacrifice, the priest's servant would come while the meat was boiling with the three-pronged fork in his hand, and he would thrust it into the pan, kettle, cauldron, or pot, and all that the fork brought up, the priest would be able to take for himself. Okay, that wasn't selfishness. It was part of the compensation package for a priest. Okay? But they had to wait for this to be boiled and to be done. There was not supposed to be any raw meat. Now watch what his sons do. I mean, there's rules about this. This is worship to the Lord. It's people bringing sacrifices and honoring God, and they're supposed to help have duties do that and, you know, bridge the gap here between God and man. This is what they did. Moreover, before the fat was burned, the priest's servant would come and say to the man who was making the sacrifice, "Give meat for the priest to roast, for he will not accept boiled meat from you, but only raw." That's not right. It's not legal. It's not what's supposed to happen. It's not part of the worship. It's not having reverence for the Lord. So this is what they began to do, these boys. They would send servants to go do this. And listen to this. And if the person or the man who was making the sacrifice, he responded, say, "Let them burn the fat off first and then take as much as you wish." These guys said, "No, you must give it now. And if not, we're going to take it by force." No reverence for the Lord, no reverence for the sacrifices that people brought to God. No reverence for God's word, God's law, God's people. And yet they're growing up in the temple. Thus the sin of the young men was very great in the sight of the Lord. Well, imagine that. For the men treated the offering of the Lord with contempt. Down to verse 22. Now Eli was very old, and he kept hearing all that his sons were doing to all of Israel. In other words, this wasn't just brand new news. Dad, Eli, the priest, has been hearing about what his boys have been doing to all of Israel, to God's people, contempt for the Lord, for contempt for worship, all of this. He kept hearing it. Then he heard this. He kept hearing all that his sons were doing to all Israel and how they began to lay with the women who were serving at the entrance to the tent of meeting. The contempt just kept building. It was never dealt with. It just digresses. It gets worse. It gets more bold, more brash. I mean, these are the things that the pagans would do at their temples and their places of worship, is have that kind of immorality going on. Here is the Almighty God, the Holy One, God's people bringing sacrifice, and this is the kind of thing that these boys were involved in. And Dad knew about it. The priest. Not just a priest of the home, a priest of the Lord. And he, the dad, said to him, to them, "Why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil dealings from all the people. No, my sons, it is no good report that I hear the people of the Lord spreading abroad. If someone sins against a man, God will mediate for him. But if someone sins against the Lord, who's going to intercede for him?" But they would not listen to the voice of their father, for it was the will of the Lord now to put them to death. Understand, because he never dealt with the sin in his home, that it brought an end to their line, their lineage. You will find out that a man of God was sent to and prophesied and spoke to Eli about, you didn't fix this. You have exalted the importance of your boys over the importance of the Lord. Listen, Christian parents. I know you want to be really good to your kids, but there is a line. Don't think being, if I do this and it's really good to my kids, it's really good to my kids, it's really good to my kids, and you're going over the top outside of the boundary of what goodness should really be, and it ruins them because it's at the cost of them showing any reverence for the Lord, for knowing the Lord. I'm not telling you don't be good to your kids because then they won't know the Lord. We're supposed to be good to them. But when it comes to dealing with sin in their life, now I'm not telling you that you and I got to be a police. We got to walk around with a stick in our home and every time they just do one little thing, bang, 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 smack. Quit acting like your mother. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Listen. We don't have to police them. It's not like we're just around waiting for them to do something wrong so we can get on their case and tell them to shape up and No, no. But I'll tell you what, when it comes to sin in the home, dad, mom, you better deal with it. What's the scripture say? The Lord disciplines those he... because he wants to protect them. He wants to preserve their life. He wants their life to be good. He wants them to walk in right relationship with him. That's what this is about. It's not him trying to kill a good time. It's about him keeping you and I alive and in right relationship with him. That redemption that he has given to us, that grace and mercy is going to lead us home. And that we find joy in this life and the life he's called us to. I'm telling you, if you are afraid of your kids or afraid to hurt their feelings, or if you're like, well, I just don't want to turn them off, and after all, you know, there's no dad in the home, or there's no mom in the home, and we're doing this alone, and I'm trying to do double duty. I have no idea how difficult that is. But I'm telling you, we cannot go so far the other way to try to make something up at the cost of them not really knowing the Lord. We're going to find out in just a moment, what's the price of a soul? What's the cost? You see, Eli weakly warned his boys. Passive parenting, it just led to more contempt. I don't want my child to get mad at me. I don't want to really confront them. They've had a hard time already, and And all of a sudden, we're calling it love and being nice. And you know what? They're just drifting from the Lord because they're going to have more contempt. Fathers, we've got to deal with sin in our home. And if we don't deal with sin in our home, it is a sign that we are not dealing with sin in our own life. And those of you who are dealing over the top with sin in your home, I've watched this happen. You deal with it over the top in your home? Most of the time, that individual is not dealing with sin in their life. But they want to appear like they're holy and they got it figured out. And they got a root of something going on behind all that. You watch. Not every person, but you watch. Something will be revealed. When they're just always over the top, over the top. That the punishment is greater than the crime. And they try to put holiness on it and do something like that and call it godly. No, I'm telling you, there's something wrong. There's something out of order there. Sin is a serious deal. But I want you to understand, we need to address the serious sins of our home, and not that the little ones go unaddressed. No. But understand, we're in this for the long haul of growing in Christ. There's a balance here between this you know, dealing with sin in your home, and then what Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 6. You listen to this. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Fathers, do not exasperate your children to anger. In other words, don't provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. There's a balance here. There's somewhere in between, well, I don't want to confront them, and, you know, let's figure it out, and I'll just pray for them, and you just kind of enable them to keep living in their sin, as Eli seemed to do, to the point where all you're doing is policing them, telling them no, and don't do this, and you can't go there, and you can't do that, I'm taking this away, and blah, 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 and it's just, that's constant. You're going to exasperate them. You're going to break their spirit. You're going to provoke them to anger. You're cluttering up the runway of their life. There's a balance here between this that God brings. I'm so grateful. This is one thing I'm so grateful to the Lord for, is that, you know, we say things like, He'll never give us more than we can handle. But He's the one that gives us the strength. But He gives us what we can digest for the development of where we're at in the faith in our life. We're parenting for the long haul. You want to fix something now, but we're in it for the long haul. Growing, developing, what can they digest right now? Listen, you don't ask a four-year-old to run a marathon. Well, other than my grandson, how old is he? Six? Okay. Forgive me for not remembering. He's six. He ran all... Did he run the 5K? He ran 2 miles. Six-year-old ran 2 miles without stopping. I remember when I used to do that. I can ride in my truck for 2 miles without stopping. Anyhow. Listen, you don't ask them to do some extraordinary thing that's just not even achievable. It's where a person's at, and I'm so grateful to the Lord for this. In my life, when He came into my life, that He convicted me of some things. We had to change some things, and I failed at some things, and He was there to help me, and it was like He's in it for the long haul with me and moving me along in my life. Not just beat me with a stick. That's wrong. That's sin. That's wrong. But that's sin. It's not right. But you know what I found with Him? He wasn't just revealing to me a conviction of what's wrong. It also came in a package. Something came with it that He was forgiving me and helping me move on from that. See, discipline has to do with love. And it's not, I'm being hard on you because I love you. It's also, I'm disciplining you because I want to be with you and walk with you, and I want to move you along in this life, you know, for as long as we live, for as long as Jesus tarries. We're in it to progress, and what can we digest at the moment? It's the whole purpose where Jesus says, you know, don't throw your pearls before swine. In other words, don't take something valuable and throw it before swine. They'll trample it underfoot. They don't understand the value of it. Listen, you can't say and do valuable things in somebody that they can't digest it. So He gives us what we can digest and what we can work through and where we start to struggle a little bit and we keep moving along. Parenting is like that. That's how the Father does it with us. I can't be in my home and just with a stick all the time. And each child's a little different. And their day might have been different. You've heard me say this before when it comes to parenting. There were days where one of our kids would do something that, hey, it was inappropriate. That was way over the line. Uh-uh. But you know what? They were already so beat up from their day, from going to school and something happened and this and that, and they already got corrected or something. And they're just, at that point, we're not going to keep going, oh, and that was wrong too, and then... We're just going to break their spirit. We're going to wear them out. They're going to give up or just get angry. At that point, wisdom goes, okay, we're in it for the long haul. I'm not going to say anything about this. I'm going to let it slide. We're going to start fresh tomorrow. Keep moving them along. Keep moving them along. Because I know that they were going to fall short because they come from me. They come from Sue. Just like your kids come from you. And there's a walking along here. We've got to deal with sin in our home. Listen, Father, you have to deal with this and resolve these sins in your home. Step up, and if she fights against you, you have a word with her. And I don't care if it's conflict, but remember this. You need to listen when God is talking to you. And there's conflict. Do you ever think about this? What kind of child are you to the Father in heaven? I mean, as a parent, for your child and the expectations you have and how you deal with them and how you expect them to respond back, do you put those expectations on yourself? It's an interesting thing being a parent, because as I am simultaneously a father to my children, I am a child to my Father. And I don't know if we think about that. What kind of child am I to you? How do I respond to you? How do I deal with discipline you show me? How do I see this as love? How do I pick up and move on as you move me along? How do I free myself from the frustration of failure and sin and guilt? And how do I deal with this? And how do I listen and obey? Or how do I try to justify not listening to you as if it's acceptable? Do you ever think about what kind of child we are? What kind of child are you to the Father? Put that in your perspective, because it will create integrity in you when it comes to you parenting your children. What kind of child do you desire them to be? And what expectations do you have of them? See, it's kind of like putting the shoe on the other foot for a moment. We learn a lot from remembering that we're a child. He's our Father. And simultaneously, I'm a father or mother to a child. Ooh, remember what it is to have the shoe on the other foot. It's going to help us, the integrity of our parenting. It's going to help us deal with sin appropriately and when to deal with it and how much to deal with it in one day. And also not provoke our child to anger or getting exasperated. Now, some of you children, you just get angry right away, and you think, well, we're supposed to stop as parents. Well, sometimes there's just a flaw in the child, and you need to learn to deal with discipline and not get angry right away. It's a little something for you as kids, but it's also something for us as parents, because we are children from the Father. So there's this balance here between exasperating and provoking them to anger and, you know, the other is dealing with sin. How do we walk this road? Listen, stay close to the Father in heaven. He's perfect. And I want to mention this to you, the closing scripture verse for this. Mark chapter 8, it says this. This is Jesus speaking. Because you and I need to keep an eye on what's true. And that our children, body, soul, and spirit, they are made up of an eternal spirit. And this life, it fades away. And what is really important? And what is the price of a soul? Listen to this. Jesus says this. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? Trade his soul for all the things of this world. Are we trading the souls of our children so that we don't have to get them upset? Or, you know, they're kids and they're just going to be kids, and so they're going to be a little wild and they're going to go do some things and it's okay. Where are you getting that parenting from? Dealing with sin in the home appropriately so that we don't ruin our family and for generations to follow. Because it goes to the fourth generation. Now in Christ, be broken. Power of the cross, His blood and resurrection breaks those curses in your life, my life, our kids' life. We need to deal with it. At the same token, know where the boundary is of exasperating or causing them to be angry unjustly. To walk down that road and understand that our children's soul There is no price worth paying for a lost soul. Yours, mine, our children, someone else's. Jesus says, what's it matter to gain all this stuff? Listen, I don't want to be loving parents and every kid's involved in everything and run here and run there. But I'll tell you what, if it crosses a line where they are seeing all of those things more important than spiritual life at home, your connection to Christ's body and the church, I'll tell you what, you are doing them no favor. I don't care how much they laugh, how much you have fun, how many things you can post online, on social media, if at the price you go too far, and now you are not teaching them any reverence for the Lord and how to live their life and be in faith because they watch it in you. They watch it in you more than just hear it, because it becomes words if they don't see it. But when they see it and the words come, it's consistent. And it does something for them. It's seed, good seed falling in their life. Jesus says, what's it profit a person to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? You sold out. For whoever is ashamed of me, Jesus says, this is all part of this teaching he's saying. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this generation of sinfulness, then the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes into his glory in front of the Father and the holy angels. Listen to the point I want to make. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, our children need to see in us that we deal with sin, but it comes with love. And not to exasperate or break their spirit. And that they would see in us that we are not ashamed of the gospel in front of a sinful generation. That we're not embarrassed by being a Christian. We are not ashamed of the Lord, and we're not ashamed of his words. I mean, let's face it, following him and believing in his word and following is totally contrary to the world that we live in. And Jesus says, listen, the price of a soul, if you're ashamed, and if you hide the word, and you're embarrassed by it, your kids will see it. And the cost? It's going to be their soul, not to mention your own. But if they see a consistency, that we revere God first, that we don't make fun of worship. We don't treat the sacrifices of God with contempt. We don't do immoral things. That when that happens, we deal with it and we work through it and we find forgiveness from God and we change our life and we stumble and we know how to get back up and we know how to repent. We know how to be humble in our life and in theirs. And we work together through this love of God to be protected and to live a life that's appropriate before God, that we don't ruin it for ourselves, for our kids, our grandkids, and generations to follow. We have got to step into that place where we deal with sin appropriately. It's our responsibility. Eli was warned, and a prophet was sent to him, and he did not heed. We cannot be ashamed of the gospel, ashamed of Christ. If our kids see that inconsistency, they will never deal with sin. Doesn't matter what we say, how hard we are, what we take away from them. You know what? If they don't see a consistency in us, a living faith, that they see that you're not embarrassed of the gospel at home, you're not embarrassed of God's word at home. It is spoken. It is listened to. It is read. They watch you with people outside of the home. Is my dad embarrassed by God's word, by being labeled a follower of Christ, a Christian, or associated with the church? They see all that. And if they see a consistency in the home and in public and how you deal with them, That's being a father. It's tough. I know what it is to come home. I remember, I know what it is to come home tired, exhausted, having four kids at home. I mean, the chances are something's up. You got four kids in the home, something's up with somebody. And before the night's over, it's going to spread to somebody else. That's life. And you're called on to make a decision. I mean, I remember being young and this was unfolding. I just felt kind of unprepared. I mean, I had a good dad. I know the Lord, but I still felt like I don't have all, I'm expected to have answers. I got to problem solve. I got to make decisions. I got to come up with, you know, how to fix this, how to do this. How do we do this? How do we navigate through this? Tough to admit. Dad doesn't always know best. Dad just simply doesn't always know. But my Father in heaven does. And I got to lean on Him and I got to watch Him and how He fathers me and other people and take that and distribute that in my home. Distribute it in my life. I don't have all the wisdom, but He does, and He says I can ask Him for it, and He says He'll give it. Give wisdom. Each child's a little different. Didn't want to change the rules, but their development was different. She went out with a boy when she was... I said, yeah. And I still think it was too soon, but your mother wanted that. Finally, a boy. Yeah. I still don't know that she's old enough to be married. And to navigate through that stuff, I need the Lord's wisdom. And just because she got to go out with a boy at whatever age that was, doesn't mean my next daughter come along and goes, yeah, 3 more weeks, my birthday, and I get to go, uh-uh. I said, it has nothing to do with age. It has to do with development. Relationship with the Lord, or trust, your skills, your life skills. How's this going to play out? See? It was different. Needed wisdom. How do we navigate through there? It's not about fairness. It's about what's right. According to the Lord. Not just my personal bias. Because all my daughters would still be locked up in a closet. I'm kidding. They were never locked in a closet. In the house, but not in the closet. Listen, being a father's tough. Being a mother's tough. It's tough business. But He knows how to be a parent to us, a good parent. Learn from Him. But deal with sin in the home. Don't be afraid to do it. There's souls at stake. Don't exasperate them and constantly police them. No, we're in for the long haul. We're going to keep relationship. We're going to walk together. I'm going to let you make some mistakes. Not where it ruins your soul, but I'm going to let you make some mistakes because you need to learn how to repent and return, and how do we take God's word, apply it to our life? How do we start to exercise discipline with the hope of the Holy Spirit? Development stage. It's just, I can see you're going the wrong way, and I'm going to tell you if it's something that's going to wreck your soul. If not, I may make a passing comment, and if they think they know best, I'll be there when they go kaboom. And without a, I told you so. But in that discipline, there's a forgiveness. What draws men to God? What draws them to repentance? It says, God's loving kindness draws men, people, to repentance, to change their life. It's not about disciplining your kids like that. It's a package. Like I said, discipline that they find forgiveness because it brings them back.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.